Let's just pray. Father, Lord, we just come to you right now, and we thank you for this time. We thank you for your word. Father God, it's not about the speaker, it's about the message. And I ask, oh Lord, that you hide me behind your Holy Spirit. Hide me behind the veil, dear Lord. Lord, that you may speak to your people, that you may speak to your church, that you may speak to Restoration Church, oh God, to every heart that is here. Lord, every soul, everyone, dear Lord. Father God, we thank you, Lord, for this time. We thank you for your worship. And we ask all this in the precious name of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross, but he didn't stay on the cross. He resurrected to give us hope. What good is death if there is no life afterwards? What good is death if there's no resurrection? Father God, we thank you, Lord, that you live and reign, Lord, forevermore, dear Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 So, the topic of my message today is fractured and broken vessels. All right? It may not be an easy message, but it's something that we all need to understand, that all of us through life, we go through certain things, and life has a way of fracturing us and breaking us into pieces, you know. So here, I brought these little things, little pot holders, right? Really cute. I put the price in the front. No, you can't have it. Okay? But these are pots that were molded by someone. So this is clay, right? Here's another one. Different shape, different price, right? But it's meant to hold something in it. This is a cute one. My wife would probably want this one. All right? And again, it's made of ceramic. And this is a plastic one. It's more durable. But it's plastic. Okay? And sometimes we bring in our plasticness from the world into the church. And that can happen. You know? I know in my life, I've had plenty of fractures. Right? Each one of those are very fragile. I brought a hammer here with me just in case I needed to break any of them, but I don't think so. But Angie, could you put up Jeremiah 18, 1 through 6? Thank you. So it says, the Lord gave another message to Jeremiah. He said, go down to the potter's house and I will speak to you there. So I did as he told me, and I found the potter working on his wheel. But the jar he was making did not turn out as he had hoped. So he crushed it into a lump of clay again and started over. Then the Lord gave this message to Jeremiah. O Israel, O Restoration Church, Can I not do to you as this potter has done to this clay? As the clay is in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand. We are the clay, right? And in other scriptures, it says that we are the earthen vessels, right? And so I needed to share something here because, let's see if I find it real quick. Get this out. So, I asked for some statistics in Google. It says the state of mind of children ages 10 to 18 is defined by the rapid transition from concrete childhood thinking to complex adult reasoning. This developmental stage is characterized by intense emotional sensitivity, a growing need for independence, and the ongoing construction of a personal identity. Because of the teenage brain experience, significant rewiring, cognitive and emotional development unfolds in distinct phases that dramatically shape a child's state of mind. And so our children, Betty and I don't have children. Okay, we've had dogs all our lives. Thank you, Lord. But the children are being attacked. They're being attacked at an early age. I work in the emergency room, and I see so many young children that come in as young as 3, 4, and 5, already depressed, anxious, suicidal, homicidal, that want to kill their families. I'll never forget, this was years ago, I was in the ER, and so they called for this the psychiatric clinician to come and do an evaluation on, I think she was probably like 7 years old, okay? Beautiful little girl, blonde hair, blue eyes. You would never think of that there was anything wrong. But the parents came in because they told the doctor and the psychiatric clinician she wanted to kill the whole entire family. So here the psychiatric clinician who is trained to hear different cases from different people, different children and everything, went in, talked to the parents, came back out, talked to the child. The clinician came out and said, I have never had an experience the way I did right now, talking with this little child that brought chills up and down my spine. Because she had a look that was emotionless, that was terrifying, that she said that she couldn't wait to get out of that room with that little girl because she didn't know what to expect. And it hasn't changed. It hasn't changed. You know? We grow up in this world and we think, it's just same old stuff, different day. No. We get fractured by this world. Many of us get broken by this world. I see it all the time in the ER. You know, families come in, children come in addicted to drugs, whatever it is, doesn't matter what age, young or old, there's something, there's some type of fracture that is going on. The problem is that we come to the Lord and we think that's it. I know of someone who says, oh, I came to the Lord and that's it. I don't have to worry about anything else. The devil is a liar. The devil is a liar. We can't bring that stuff into the church, even though we do, right? We do it. And the Lord understands, and the Lord can heal those things. But we need to give it up. That's why worship is so important. That's why coming to the altar, whether it's here or in your home, because this is your altar, right here. This is your altar. But unless we give it up, God's not going to touch it. You know why? Because he's such a loving God, such a gentleman, okay, that he won't give anything. He won't take anything that you don't give. He says in Revelation, he says, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hear my voice and opens the door, I will come in and sup with him and he with me. But he knocks. He doesn't tear down the wall. He doesn't come through the window like the thief. Right? A thief goes through the window, says, I'm going to steal. I'm going to ransack that house. They have a lot of nice things. Let me see what I can take. We had it happen to us years ago, just before we got married. Thank God that they didn't take anything in the house, but we went in there one day, got home from church. The door was partially open. It's like, what? And the house had been ransacked. They didn't find anything. Thank God that Betty didn't have the what do they call that? When the engagement party before? The shower. Yeah. So none of the gifts were there because we didn't have it yet. It was the following day. Okay? But they tried. They looked for everything. They turned the place upside down, you know. After that, I had a German Shepherd that weighed 120 pounds. Yeah. And everybody in the window, everybody in the building got robbed except us. Yeah. There were people that would walk across the street when they would see me walking with my German Shepherd, you know. But we need to understand that the enemy is out there, okay? He's out there prowling like a roaring lion, but he's not the lion, okay? He's not the lion. We have the lion of the tribe of Judah living in us, okay? I wore this shirt today, right? Don't know if you can see it. And it says that the devil thought that he had won until I got up and said amen. Okay? That's what we need to tell the devil when he confronts us. Because Jesus is the amen. Right? Jesus is the amen. That's what it says in Revelation. He is the Alpha and the Omega, and he is the amen. He's the dot right there. And it doesn't go any further. Okay? But we need to surrender that. Okay? Could you put Proverbs 4:23? Thank you. So it says, guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. Avoid all perverse talk. Stay away from corrupt speech. Look straight ahead and fix your eyes on what lies before you. Mark out a straight path for your feet and stay on the safe path. Don't get sidetracked. Keep your feet from following evil. But the first part is that we have issues. Solomon wrote that. And he says, in some version it says, the issues of life stem from our heart. Why? Because the decisions we make, okay, the decisions we make determine how far we go and where we go. And if we're not careful, we're going to fall into a ditch. Okay? And the enemy would love to destroy us. Our body doesn't matter to him. It's our soul that matters. Okay? Our soul. So it says the same thing about I asked it also, what's the difference between young people from age 18 to 35, then from 35 up to 90 years old in 2026 and 25. And it was saying that the difference is that the young people are so caught up with social media and peer pressure that they lose their identity. They think that they have to please every friend that's out there. They go on TikTok, they go on Facebook, they go on all these chat rooms, right? Not realizing that the enemy's just waiting for them to make a mistake and say, yeah, I want to be like that person. Have you seen Hollywood lately? Or the music industry? The Grammy Awards? How they just dress up in demonic clothes? Demonic. And they don't care. Years ago, you wouldn't see anything like that. You wouldn't see anything as close as to what they're doing now. These days, now, they're all out. The enemy doesn't care. Why? Because according to the word of God, we are living in the last of the last of the last days. Even back then when the Lord left, Paul said, we're already living in the last days. Now, we're living in the last hour, probably the last minutes. And our children and our elderly and everyone else in between are being attacked. They're being attacked, you know. And we need to surrender. There's a saying that says, hurt people, right? But the Lord showed me not too long ago that hurt people are the only ones that can relate to hurt people. It's not so much the pain, it's what you do with that pain. It's how you steer it. It's how you say to that pain, I'm going to use you for God's glory. Okay? I'm going to use you so that someone else can be set free. I'm going to use you so that someone else can be healed. I'm going to use you so that someone else can be delivered. Okay? Because we go through so much. We've been betrayed. We've been backstabbed. Okay? We've been accused. Okay? We've been lied about. We've been cheated. Okay? I mean, if you can think of something negative, it's happened, right? It's happened. It's not of God. Anything that's negative that's coming into our minds is not of God. That's it. God will never condemn us, right? We are not to be feeling guilt or shame. But when those thoughts come, we are to fight it. And if we don't fight it with the word of God, that's what Jesus did. Jesus didn't say, oh, I'm the Son of God, I'll do whatever I want. No, he submitted himself. It says that he humbled himself. He left the glory of heaven. He left it all. And he submitted himself to the will of man and to the will of the Father. You know, and we get disappointed, whether it's with our parents, with our siblings. We get disappointed with our children, right? And we think that they're supposed to be perfect when we're not perfect, right? We're not perfect, right? So we go through despair when things don't go our way. You know, we want God to do everything for us. And we don't realize that God says, be still. Be still and know that I am God. Be still, because in due season, then you will see what I have for you. You know, in the ER, I have to work with the computers. Years ago, before there was even computers, it was like, okay, you got to wait for it, and that's it. And, you know, wait 5, 10 minutes for whatever it was. These days, even the microwave is not quick enough. Right? Yeah. Come on. Microwave that thing now. You know, sometimes we say, well, if I was like Bewitched, I'd just twitch my nose and that's it. Right? But that's not reality. That's not reality. For those young people that don't know who Bewitched was, yeah, that was an old show, right? And they were witches, you know? And even back then, we didn't realize how witches was being glorified, right? Witches were being glorified. Now, we see witches in all the programs out there, in all the shows, how they're glorifying witchcraft. White witch, a black witch, a yellow witch, a green witch. They're all different witchcraft. It all stems from the same thing. The way I look at it is, this is the root of it, right? Which is the enemy, the devil. And he just has different branches. But it's all the same tree. It's all the same tree. Nothing's different. It's all the same tree. Oh, white witch. Oh, green witch. Oh, yellow witch. Oh, red witch. It's witchcraft. It's devil worship. And we have to be careful. Even in our cartoons, right? Our cartoons that are being watched out there. I can't watch some of those cartoons anymore. Because the craziness that's out there is like, I never saw that. I don't remember seeing that in Mickey Mouse. You know, in the Hulk and all that, but yet it's there. The minds of our children are being polluted, right? They're being polluted and they're telling them that they can be whatever they want to be if they just pursue it. That they can transform into whatever they want, right? That they could be non-binary. As far as I know, for the history of mankind, man and woman, and dogs maybe, you know. Okay, I'll talk a lot about dogs because that's what I have, dogs, you know. But now these days, it's like, oh, I want to be a man, or I want to be a woman, or I want, and some of these children and young people are going out and having plastic surgery to look different. Some look like aliens. I can't believe it. I've seen it on TV where they get plastic surgery and they have ears like Mr. Spock and all that, and then eyes and everything and their butts and everything. And it's like, what are you doing? God didn't make a mistake. God didn't make a mistake when he made us. It is what it is. We have to learn how to deal with it. Okay? We have to learn how to cope and adjust. Because if we don't, then that's when the enemy starts saying, hey, you sure? What did he tell Eve? You sure that God doesn't want you to be like him? Because I think that if you eat the fruit, you just might be like him. Did God say? Right? And he whispers that into the children and young people, even adults. Right? Even adults. It's like, I remember, I don't know if I could say it, but I'm going to say it anyway. Bruce Jenner. Right? Triathlon. Medal winner. Olympics. He was the man. Right? He was on all the Wheaties boxes, Cheerios, and all that. Right? Right? All of a sudden, he comes out saying, I've been struggling with this all my life. I said, what? Are you kidding me? You know? But that's the enemy. That's the enemy lying. Even to a person like that, you know, we have struggles. We have struggles. We certain things pop into our mind. We have to refuse it. We have to refuse it, you know. The moment that we refuse it, the enemy has to flee. Yeah. The only time that those whispers become something is when we marinate it. When we marinate it and say, yeah, you know, I think so. I think that person did something. I think that individual, you know, might have said something. I think that individual has it in for me. I think I'm not supposed to be this way. Are you kidding me? Are you really kidding me? You know? So, can you turn to 1 Samuel 1? 1 Samuel 1, the story of Hannah. And I like Hannah. I had one of my pit bulls, her name was Hannah. She was beautiful. Yeah, beautiful. Weighed 100 pounds, had a head like that. She was gray and white with hazel eyes. Beautiful. She was gentle, gentle as a dove. But if you tried to mess with me or with Betty, you saw a whole different dog. Yeah, yeah. I'll just tell you this little thing before I went to take her to the vet because she had a lump. And she was laying down and she was watching all the dogs. And this person came in with one of their dogs that was howling, howling and barking and barking and barking. And Hannah just stood like that. And the dog kept barking and barking, and Hannah didn't do anything. And barking, and then the dog got a little closer and started to bark and almost in Hannah's face, and Hannah went. And I said, it's okay, girl. Calm down. Relax. And the owner said, you better leave that dog alone. And I said, that's right. You don't know my girl. She's protective over her daddy. That's right. So anyway, so it says, Hannah was in deep anguish, crying bitterly as she prayed to the Lord. And she made this vow, O Lord of heaven's armies, if you will look upon my sorrow and answer my prayer and give me a son, then I will give him back to you. He will be yours for his entire lifetime. And as a sign that he has been dedicated to the Lord, his hair will never be cut. As she was praying to the Lord, Eli watched her, seeing her lips moving, but hearing no sound. He thought, she must be drinking. Must you come here drunk? Because she was at the temple. He demanded, throw away your wine. Oh, no, sir, she replied. I haven't been drinking wine or anything strong, but I am very discouraged, and I was pouring out my heart to the Lord. She was in despair. Sometimes God allows us to go through certain things so that we can give up certain things, you know. But she kept her promise. I can just imagine how Samuel was, right? Because Samuel was her son. And Samuel was one of the big prophets in the Old Testament, right? But even his sons were a little cuckoo, right? But she kept her word to the Lord. And that's what we need to do. We need to keep our word. Let our yes be yes and our no be no. And when we find ourselves in despair, realize that God will answer it in His time. In His time. Right? And I love that story because she kept her word. I love the stories of women in the Bible. You know why? Because I see a lot of women in the Bible stronger than men. Okay? I grew up at home with a dad, you know. He might as well have been away all his life. He might as well have gone and disappeared because he didn't do anything for us. Yeah, he worked, always worked, put food on the table, and I'm grateful for that. But it was my mom that built the home. It was my mom. And there's a scripture in Proverbs that says, the man builds the house, but it's the woman that builds the home, that makes it into a fortress. Right? They're the ones that make it into a fortress to keep you safe. My mom being Puerto Rican, she was the woman. my sister and I would say she was the mother of 100 phrases. Okay? 100 proverbs, you know? Yeah. Because she would let us know when things were not going, we were not doing the right stuff. Right? And she would say, if you're looking for fire, you're going to find it. You know? Or she would say something to the effect of a lot of those things, like, wait for it, it's coming to you. And we braced ourselves, make sure that something was not coming from her, because we have this little thing called the chancleta, the floppy disc, the floppy slipper, you know. And there's even videos of mothers, you know, on Facebook with their chancletas, their slip, the floppies, and they're holding it like this against their sons when they get out of hand. And when the son says something, wah, you know, and you would think that they went to school to learn how to shoot that thing, right? It's like, dude, you know, but you see women in the Bible, okay? Even the story of Deborah, when she commanded the commander to go and get this man that was against Israel. And the man said, I'm not going. I'll go if you go with me. Right? What a wussy. Yeah. What a wussy that man was. He's a soldier. He was a soldier, a commander in the army. Right? And he said, well, I'll go if you go. You know? You come with me, I'll go with you. Yeah, I'll be right behind you. You know? And the woman said, Deborah, the prophet said, okay, there's going to be a woman, but she's going to take the credit for it. And the woman went and slayed the enemy commander, right? Drove a nail right through his head, right? I mean, I don't recommend that to anybody, okay? I'm just saying, you know? right? But the women, all you women, you don't realize how strong you are. The influence that you have in your home over your children, over your siblings. Yeah. You know, Betty has taken a lot of flack for standing for what she believes from many people, sibling and otherwise. But you know what? She stands. Even against me, she says, no, you better get that straight. And I tell her, you don't tell me what to do. And of course she says, well, you're going to have to stand before Dad someday, so you better be cool. So don't tell me what to do, okay, woman? Of course I wind up doing it no matter what, you know, what she tells me to do. So I do it when I want, how I want, if I want. And she goes, you're going to do it now. All right. She's not looking at me now. Yeah. So Isaiah 45, Angie. Sometimes when we don't get our way, we tend to argue with God. That's the worst thing we could do, argue with God. Because you know what he does? He says, okay, I'll wait right here. When you're ready, I'll answer. You know? And we get all bent out of shape, and we get all, you know, the mascara all flowing and everything. Not me. I'm just saying. Right? Not my mascara. Betty's mascara. You know? But we get all bent out of shape, right? And we do like the clay. It says, what sorrow awaits those who argue with their creator? Hot dog. Does a clay pot argue with its maker? Does the clay dispute with the one who shapes it? Saying, stop! You're doing it wrong. How do you like that? Does the pot exclaim, how clumsy can you be? How terrible it would be if a newborn baby said to its father, why was I born? Or if it said to its mother, why did you make me this way? This is what the Lord says, the Holy One of Israel and your Creator, to Restoration Church. Do you question what I do for my children? Do you give me orders about the work of my hands? I am the one who made the earth and created people to live on it. With my hands, I stretched out the heavens. All the stars are at my command. And yet we want to argue with that creator. And what happens? We get all frustrated over nothing if we just relax, right? How many times does the word say to rest in the Lord, to be still in the Lord, to wait, to not be discouraged? But we want to argue. Why? Because we want to tell the potter what to do. The person that made this made it. And this little pot had no say in it. Couldn't argue about it. Said, no, I'm going to make you this size, and I'm going to put a ring on it and all that, and I'm going to sell you to Walmart. And you're going to cost $1.78. Right? We all have a price. We are priceless to the Lord. We are priceless. We are treasures. We hold in us the treasure of heaven. Yeah, we need to realize that and relax. It's not all, it's going to be all right, right? There's a song that says, it's going to be all right. We just need to relax. Right? I'm not sure if I gave you this one. Jeremiah 32:14. Did I give you that one? I did. Okay. This is what the Lord of Heaven's armies, the God of Israel, says. Take both the sealed deed and the unsealed copy and put them into a pottery jar to preserve them for a long time. What does that have to do with it? Right? You know what? So turn to 2 Corinthians 4. Did I give you that one? Okay. We now have this light shining in our hearts, but we ourselves are like fragile clay jars containing this great treasure. This makes it clear that our great power is from God and not from ourselves. That deed that it talked about in Jeremiah is the Lord. We hold that deed in our lives and in our heart. And we have it in us when we come to the Lord, right? We come to the Lord, and that's in us. That we are that earthen vessel. And so I just want to bring out some things that Jesus went through, right? Jesus suffered betrayal by Judas, one of Jesus' disciples. He was ridiculed by everyone that he confronted. They told him that he was crazy. They told him that he was mad. They even told him that he was possessed. Even his own family, even his family thought that he was crazy. In Mark 3:21, they thought he was possessed by a demon. These are things that Jesus went through. So if we go through it, what is it? We need to realize that Jesus went through it first. It says that he was tempted in every way that we might think of. Jesus was tempted. He was tempted, but yet he didn't sin. He conquered sin. Okay? Jesus felt abandoned and forsaken. Imagine having a perfect relationship with your parents or with your child and all that, and then all of a sudden you feel abandoned. You feel forsaken. What did Jesus do at the cross? He cried out, "Father, why have you forsaken me?" I mean, I can't even imagine that he felt, when for 33 years he had total fellowship with the Father. He said, whatever I see the Father do, that's what I do. Whatever I hear him speak, that's what I speak. That's relationship. And yet he felt abandoned at the end. He wasn't abandoned, but it says that the Father could not look upon him because of the sin that he bore. He had to turn his face and say, I can't look at my beloved son carrying all that filth, all that shame, all that sin, all that darkness. My eyes cannot see it. And he had to turn away. And we cry when we get a splinter. You know I do. I've gotten plenty of splinters. Yeah. You know? And we need to understand that Jesus went through it. So there are things that we must forsake also and abandon. We must forsake bitterness. We must forsake unforgiveness. We must forsake betrayal. Anyone been betrayed here by anyone? By a husband, a wife, a son, a daughter? Been betrayed? They betrayed you? Guess what? You need to leave it at the cross. You know why? It will eat you up. David said that when he did not repent, or when he kept his sin to himself, his bones started to rot. Why? Because he didn't give it up. We need to give those things up and not pick it up again. Any forgiveness, any betrayal that was done, any hurt, okay, any lies, we need to give it up. Paul had to forsake his background as a theologian amongst the great minds of his time. He said he counted it all done. You know, like Pastor has been saying, pew, right? We count it. We have to forsake some of those things. Forsake our pride. Forsake things that hurt us. Hatred. If we don't, it's going to eat us up. It's going to eat us up. Science is now catching up to the Bible, right? Science is finally catching up to the Bible, you know, where it says that the more we keep things in, the sicker we get, even to the point of death, even to the point of death, you know. There's someone that just recently died, you know, in Christianity. And they were good one moment. The next moment, they were gone. Why? I don't know, but could there have been any unforgiveness there? Because according to the diagnosis, it was a bone cancer. There was stuff going on. Maybe, maybe not. But the thing is, if we don't release it again, I can't emphasize this so much. This is where we leave it. And if you don't leave it here, leave it at home on the altar of your heart, on your knees. If you don't leave it here, guess what? You die with it. You die with it. That's all. Yeah, that's the reality that we live in. This is going to disappear. But our soul and our spirit, that's what matters. That's what matters. You see? That's what matters. Right? So, in Isaiah 61, did I give you that one, Angie? Isaiah 61? Yeah. Okay. So Isaiah 61 says like this: the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, for the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to comfort the brokenhearted, to proclaim that captives will be released from prisons, prisoners will be freed. He has sent me to tell those who mourn that the time of the Lord's favor has come, and with it, the day of God's anger against their enemies. To all who mourn in Israel or in Restoration Church, he will give a crown of beauty for ashes, a joyous blessing instead of mourning, festive praise instead of despair. In their righteousness, they will be like great oaks that the Lord has planted for his own glory. They will rebuild the ancient ruins, repairing cities destroyed long ago. They will revive them, though they have been deserted for many generations. God wants to restore us. God wants to do a great and magnificent job here in Restoration Church. Okay? He's anointed. Okay? He's been anointed to heal the brokenhearted. All right? Brokenhearted, what does it mean? It means that we've been betrayed. Things have happened to us, right? That we wonder why, we have questions, right? And we have to understand that God was anointed to set us free from all that. He was anointed to set us free, to set the captives free. Sometimes we come into the church and we don't realize we are still captive here. We are prisoners in our own jail. And again, unless we release it at the altar, at the feet of the cross, we'll carry it throughout our lives. And we won't be free. And we wonder why things happen to us. Or why doesn't anything happen to us in God's kingdom? It's because we're holding on to so much junk. So much junk, you know? And in 2 Timothy 2, 20 through 22, I don't think I gave this one to Angie. Did I give that one to you, Angie? No, right? Okay, I'm sorry. 2 Timothy 2, 20. It says, but in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also utensils of wood and earthenware, and some for honorable and noble use, and some for menial and ignoble use. In other words, unnoble. Flee, therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel of honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. Flee also youthful lusts, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace, with those who call on the name of the Lord. That's our brethren. Pursue that. You know? If you have stuff against someone, get it out of the way. Yeah. Get it out of the way. If you are being used by the enemy, you better know that you're being used by the enemy so you can give it up and not continue with that, I'll say, that nonsense. Right? Yeah. But avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing that they generate strife. And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient in humility, correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance, so that they may know the truth, and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. If we don't release it, guess what? The enemy will use it. Because he is the biggest opportunist in the universe. He will take any opportunity that is available to him to use you as an enemy to the body of Christ. Oh, yes. I know. I've been there. I've done it too. Yeah. But we need to be careful. We need to be careful. That's why that phrase to wrap yourself in praise and worship is so that the enemy can't get in. When we worship here, we release those things. We release those things to the Lord. Amen. And the last thing is Jeremiah 29. Matter of fact, Proverbs, and I'm going to finish with this. Proverbs 28:1. It says, the wicked flee when no one pursues, but the righteous are bold as lions. And what that means is that, what the Lord showed me was that the wicked, they're a bunch of cowards. They don't stick around for a fight. No. Only the crazy ones might stick around for a fight. Yeah. But you know what? We must not go back. We stand like a lion. We resist the enemy, and he will flee. Okay? We resist the enemy. We have the lion of the tribe of Judah in us. It says that the enemy roars like a lion, but we have the lion, and we don't have to back down from any fight. The enemy wants to fight, we bring the fight. Okay? Yeah, we bring the fight. In New York, that's what we did. Oh, you want to fight me? Let's go. Parking lot, backyard, your house, my house, we do it. Okay? And we fight. And if you lose, you lose. You get up, walk away, you say thank you, whatever it is. Okay, hasta la vista, baby. Right? But we don't back down. There's a scripture in the Old Testament that says that the Lord, if you back down, okay, he's not going to back down with you. No. He's not going to follow you and say, well, he's backing down. Let me just back up also with him. No. He said, okay, you want to stay back there? I'm moving forward with so-and-so and so-and-so because they want to move forward. You know? There's a little saying that I heard a long time ago. Something like this it was. And it said, I don't remember exactly what it was, but it was just like this that has this soldier kneeling. It had a young woman kneeling with a sword. And it said something to the effect that when the enemy brings the storm, you let them know you are the storm. You are the storm. You want to mess with me? I am the storm. And I bring the storm maker with me. He can bring peace to your storm, or he can give you strength to become the storm. But you don't back down. And I hope that there was a few things that I got from about statistics about. You know one thing that it said about the difference between young people that are going crazy out there and older folks from the age of 35 to 50, to 90? Older folks, like myself, all right, that when it comes to things, we are resilient. That when it happens to us, okay, let's move on. With the younger people, it was, I'm dying. I'm depressed. I'm anxious. I feel suicidal. I feel, Mom, don't talk to me. I can't deal with it. But with the older people, it was, okay, I've been through that already. What else is new? Their resilience. With the older people, it was maybe something physical, a sickness, okay? A debilitation, something. With the young people, it was, oh, I saw that on TikTok. I gotta be like that. Give me a break, will you? You know? And so we need to be resilient. You know? Be resilient in our walk with the Lord and not turn back. Amen? Father, Lord, we just thank you, Lord, for using this vessel of clay. That's all I am, Lord, a vessel of clay. And Lord, we thank you for this time. We thank you for your word. Lord, I pray that you would speak to your people. Yes, Lord, speak to your people and just minister throughout this week, Lord, as time goes on. And we thank you, Lord, for all that you're doing in our lives, that we will never turn back. We will be resilient. We will be as the lion of the tribe of Judah. And we will carry your good news, Lord, in our hearts to bring freedom and deliverance and peace, Lord, to those that are captive, those that are prisoners, those that need healing, to Lord. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.